The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Touching Lives.
You can know when you lay your head on a pillow at night, you have a Father that will love you for all eternity, who will never walk out on you, who will never turn his back on you, who will never leave you or forsake you. Because of Jesus, God was my Father yesterday, God is my Father today, and God will be my Father forever. That is Christmas every single day.
Teaching people everywhere who Jesus is and why they need him. This is Touching Lives with James Merritt.
I want you to listen again to what this prophet named Isaiah predicted about this baby that would be born 700 years before Christmas ever took place. For to us a child is born. And by the way, I'm pretty sure Isaiah didn't even realize what he was writing when he wrote it. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Now, just as a way of review, in case you have missed or you have forgotten, he begins by telling us, first of all, let me tell you what this child is before I tell you who he is and what we're to call him. He says, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. So right off the bat, Isaiah is telling us this was not an ordinary baby that was laid in that manger that we sing about 2,000 years ago. This little baby was divinely human. He was a child that was born. We're all born like that. We're all born as children. He had humanity. But he was also a son that was given. He didn't just have humanity, he had divinity. He was a child that was born just like us, but he was a son that was given. He's not just like us. He was fully human like we are, but he was also fully God. Now, the reason why Isaiah wants us to know that is because when you study these names that he is to be called, you would go, wait a minute. Nobody, no ordinary run-of-the-mill human being deserves to be called these names, but he does, because he's not just human and he's not just divine, he is divinely human. So last week we learned that he is our heavenly guide. He is Wonderful Counselor and he is Mighty God. So he's the Wonderful Counselor. He doesn't just give human advice that's hit or miss, may be right, may be wrong. We said last week, as the Wonderful Counselor, you can always follow what he tells you to do. He gives you divine wisdom. He'll always lead you in the right path. He'll always tell you the best thing to do. He'll always help you take the right path and make the right decision. Then we read that not only can we call him Wonderful Counselor, we call him Mighty God. Jesus is not just a Wonderful Counselor. He not only will tell you what to do, he doesn't just tell you where to go. He absolutely enables you to get there. Now, today, we're going to see that Jesus is not just divinely human. We're going to see that Jesus is not just our heavenly guide. Today, Isaiah is going to tell us he is eternally satisfying because he is the eternal Father, the everlasting Father, and he is the Prince of Peace. Now, I want you to take those two names. Here's what I want to share with you today, a real brief message. Those two names reveal to us who Jesus wants to be to us, what Jesus wants us to be to him, and actually, he tells us what is true about everybody that knows Jesus on a first name basis. First of all, he is the everlasting Father. Now, what does that tell us? That tells us that our position with God is eternally secure. Our position with God is eternally secure. By the way, the way the Hebrew translates that phrase, everlasting Father, it literally means the Father of eternity. Now, let me help us this morning because we are in the Old Testament. When you read the Old Testament, you have to remember the Old Testament was written in Hebrew by Hebrews for Hebrews. In other words, it was written in the Jewish language by Jewish people for Jewish people. So you've got to think like a Jew thinks, because remember, again, this is a Hebrew speaker writing in Hebrew language. Let me tell you why this is important. For a Jew, when you call someone a father, they thought two things. They said, okay, if he's the father, he is the originator and he is the author. He is the originator of something. He is the author of something. And so when Isaiah said, Jesus, we can call him the everlasting father, the eternal father. What he's saying is he is the originator of everything eternal. In other words, God doesn't just deal with the temporal. That's why we get frustrated with God sometimes. You know, we get frustrated because, well, God, you didn't do what I asked you to do when I asked you to do it. You showed up, but you didn't show up on time. And the thing you need to remember about God is not a God of the temporal. God's a God of the eternal. God doesn't care one whit about time. We do. God does it. By the way, full disclosure, God doesn't wear a watch. That's why the Bible says with God, a 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. Time means nothing to God. He doesn't deal with the temporal. He deals with the eternal. By the way, later on, Isaiah goes on to say this about this God of eternity. He says, I make known, that is God says, I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. Now, what Isaiah is saying about Jesus is this. Look, Jesus has no beginning. He has no ending. He is eternal. But he controls the beginning of everything, and he controls the ending of everything. And that's why he alone can absolutely perfectly predict how everything's going to turn out, because for all eternity, he's always been in complete control. He's the originator of all of this. He is the author of all of this. He was there at the beginning of all of this. He will be there at the ending of all of this. And he's in control of all of this. See, sometimes we see how things end, but we don't see how things begin. And then sometimes we see how things begin, but we don't see how things end. Jesus is different. He sees the beginning and the end. He sees the end of everything, and furthermore, he guarantees everything is going to end up accomplishing his purpose. By the way, he is truly the only one in the universe that does everything that he pleases, anything that he pleases. You know, there's some people, you'll meet them, and they're kind of arrogant and full of themselves. Well, how do you live your life? Well, I just kind of do it my way. I just kind of do whatever I please. Nobody does that. Nobody has the power ultimately to do that. You really can't do everything that you please because you don't control everything. He does. He is the Father of all eternity. He is the only one that can do whatever he pleases, whenever he pleases, wherever he pleases to do it. So he is called the everlasting Father. Now, let me just stop right there. If you've been a follower of Jesus for a long time, or if you've kind of grown up in church, or you've kind of, you know, read your Bible, and say you know the Lord's Prayer, you say, whoa, 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 wait a minute, time out. I thought there's God the Father, and then there's God the Son. That is true. So are you saying that God is the Father? No. Are you saying the Father is the Son? No, not ontologically speaking. Now, they are one and the same, but there's God the Father and there's God the Son. You say, okay, then why does Isaiah call Jesus the everlasting Father? Because in a real sense, Jesus, God the Son, relates to us as a father. As a matter of fact, you know one of the reasons why Jesus was born 2,000 years ago? The reason why he even came to planet Earth was to show us in visible form. You want to know what God is like? God's like a father. And I'm going to show you by the way I live and the way I act and the way I treat you. This is what God is like. As a matter of fact, there was a disciple that Jesus had. His name was Philip. And he'd been with Jesus for 3 years. And so finally, he noticed this special relationship that Jesus seemed to have with God the Father. And so one day, Philip said to him, Lord, would you show us the Father? Well, I'm going to be honest. I think Jesus was probably a little bit aggravated and a little bit irritated because, in effect, he says to Philip, let me get this straight. You've been with me 3 years. You haven't hardly been away from my side. We have been together 24/7. We have camped out together. We've eaten together. We have walked together. You've heard me teach the multitudes together. You've seen me work miracles together. And you're asking me to show you the Father. And so Jesus says this, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. If you've seen me, Jesus said, you have seen the Father. In other words, the Son that was sent by the Father is exactly like the Father, and it's through the Son that we come to know God as our Father. Now, Jesus is not just an earthly Father. Here's the difference. Listen, this is why this is so important. He's not just the Father. Isaiah said, He is the everlasting Father. He is the eternal Father. He is the forever Father. Now, for some of you, this is really going to hit home. Let me tell you what that means. If He is our forever Father, if He is our everlasting Father, that means He'll never walk out on you. He will never disown you. He will never deny you. He will never desert you. It doesn't matter how you disappoint Him. It doesn't matter when you fall flat on your face. It doesn't matter when you fall into a mud pit of sin, which we all do from time to time. It doesn't matter when you fall short of what you know He would have you to do. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, Jesus says, I am your everlasting Father. I am your eternal Father. Even when you turn your back on me, I won't turn my back on you. Even when you walk out on me, I won't walk out on you. I will never deny you. I will never disown you. I will never desert you. You know, there's one thing that will be true of me until the day I die. I will always be the earthly father of three young men, James, Jonathan, Joshua. Now, they have been absolutely fantastic sons. And it's a joy. In fact, I was thinking this morning when I got up and I was having my quiet time, I got to thinking about, you know, tomorrow's Christmas Day. And I really mean this. I got to thinking, every day for me is Christmas Day. Every day is Christmas Day. Oh, come on, I'm serious. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and you know Him on a first-name basis, every day is Christmas Day. I've got a wife. I've got the most beautiful wife on the planet. I'm more in love with today than I was the day I married her 41 and a half years ago. Every day is Christmas to me. My three boys, James, Jonathan, and Joshua, they're my very best friends. We're all just like that. Now, I did learn growing up, I know why some animals eat their young. I did learn that. But at the end of the day, we're just like that. I got four grandchildren that thinks Pop walks on water. I got a church that I love, a church that I so enjoy pastoring, a church that's so good to me. I'm telling you, some of the best people I've ever pastored in my life are sitting in this room right now. Some of the best friends I've ever had are in this room right now. Every single day for me is absolutely Christmas Day. But here's the best thing of all is to know that this Jesus, who is my Lord and my Savior, is my everlasting, eternal, forever Father. That the moment I gave my life to Him as a 9-year-old boy, I came into His family as one of His children, and for as long as I live and for eternity after I'm gone, He will always be my eternal Father. See, wherever my sons are at any given moment, they can lay their head on their pillow. And there's one thing they know when they go to sleep at night. They've got a dad that loves them. They've got a dad that's got their back. They've got a dad that will stick by them. They've got a dad that they know if you've got a need and dad can meet that need, dad will meet that need. Well, let me tell you something. When you know Jesus Christ on a first name basis, and He is not just your Lord, He is not just your Savior, but you finally realize He is my everlasting, forever Father. You can know when you lay your head on a pillow at night, you have a Father that will love you for all eternity, who will never walk out on you, who will never turn His back on you, who will never leave you or forsake you. Because of Jesus, God was my Father yesterday, God is my Father today, and God will be my Father forever. That is Christmas every single day. Every day. Can you just give the Lord a hand? I mean, it's just every day. See, because of Jesus, our position with God is completely secure. But then He tells us something else. He says our peace with God is totally sure. Our peace with God is totally sure. Our position with God is eternally secure, but our peace with God is totally sure. Now, the last thing that Isaiah gives us is one that we should all be glad, you know, with this. I mean, you think about this. I was thinking about this the other day. If you watch the news very often, I'm telling you, it can be depressing. I mean, it really can. I mean, it's you know, sometimes y'all take a news break and just kind of catch your breath. Because if you think about it, we're living on a powder keg of a world. I mean, terrorism. Never know where it's going to hit next. Random violence. Suicide bombers. They're a daily reality. And now, for the first time since I was a kid, some of you will remember the Cold War crisis, the Cuban Missile Crisis. I remember as a kid, some of you will remember this if you're old enough. I remember we used to do drills. It's kind of funny now looking back at it, you know. We did drills where if they rang the alarm, you had to get under your desk. Like that's going to help in case a nuclear bomb falls. You know, get under your desk. How's that going to work out for you, right? But we used to have these drills where, you know, we really thought we were on the brink of nuclear war, where we're at the same, almost the same place again, where it seems like nuclear war could be a looming presence. And Isaiah comes along and says, oh, by the way, and he will be called Prince of Peace. Now, I want you to listen to what he just called him. He called him the Prince of Peace. He's not just a diplomat who tries to make peace. He is the prince who rules over peace. He is the prince who gives peace. He is the prince who is peace. In other words, if he is the Prince of Peace, let me tell you what that means. There's no real peace apart from him. There really isn't. There's no real peace apart from him. As a matter of fact, Jesus said something about peace, about the peace that he gives, that I wish the whole world could hear right now. Listen to what he said. He said, peace I leave with you. Now, if he just stopped there, you'd have said, well, man, everybody says they got peace. I mean, diplomats say that, psychiatrists say that, you know, presidents say that, kings say that. Well, I've come to give you peace. He said, peace I live with you. My peace I give you. Okay, what do you mean? I do not give to you as the world gives. He said, my peace is not the same kind of peace that the world gives you. Well, why is that? Because the peace this world gives you can be blown apart just like that by a sneak attack or a sniper's bullet or a terrorist bomb or a pink slip at work or a bad x-ray. And all of a sudden, the peace this world gives you is gone. But the peace that Jesus gives is so different. Let me tell you three ways it's different. Only Jesus can give political peace. Only Jesus can give political peace. I didn't know this. This is a little interesting fact for you. The earliest known peace treaty we've ever discovered goes back to 1300 B.C., earliest one we know. So think about this. For over 3,000 years, we've been signing peace treaties. 3,000 years. Now, let me tell you this. This blew me away. Do you know how many peace treaties we have signed in 3,000 years? If you go to that great bastion of scholarly knowledge, Wikipedia, you want to see all the peace treaties that we signed in 3,000 years? Are you ready for this? It takes 74 pages to list all the peace treaties that we have signed in 3,000 years. And yet, we still don't have peace on earth. Yeah, we want peace on earth, and we want goodwill toward men, but there will be no peace on earth until the Prince of Peace returns to earth. Only Jesus can give political peace. My peace, he said, I give unto you. Number two, only Jesus can give personal peace. Not just political peace, only Jesus can give personal peace. You know, I was thinking, as I was driving in today, I thought about how many homes have their Christmas lights on, but if you walked into that home, it's anything but Christmas. I mean, there's so many troubled homes, troubled hearts, troubled cities, and troubled people. And it breaks my heart to see everybody's looking for relief in all the wrong places. Now, you might find temporary relief, you know, you might find temporary peace on a psychologist's couch or in a bottle or in a drug or even a human relationship or all the stuff that you can buy. You might find some temporary peace, but the truth of the matter is you'll only find real peace when you've come to the Prince of Peace and let Him make peace with you and give His peace to you. One of the things you'll learn is the older you get, you start thinking about death, and you start thinking about, you know, well, what's it going to be like, and how's it going to be, and where is it going to be, and, you know, when is it going to be? And I'll just be honest. I mean, I just want to die in peace and rest in peace. And only Jesus can help you do that. I've talked about him all the time, Adrian Rogers. Dr. Rogers died of cancer, 74 years old. I mean, really not that old. I used to think 74 was ancient. Now, at my age, I think he's real young. But 74 years old and, you know, always kept himself healthy and so on and so forth. Anyhow, he had colon cancer. So he went into the hospital, and they didn't tell him at first, but he wasn't going to come out. So he got physically at the point where they came in, and his doctor, who's a member of his church, said, Pastor, we've got to intubate you. And if you don't know what intubation is a process where doctors insert a tube into your mouth, and it goes down into your airway, and it not only allows you to breathe if you're having trouble breathing, which he was, but it also, they can use it to sedate you to alleviate great pain, and he was in a lot of pain. So they were going to intubate him. And Dr. Rogers said, okay, that's fine. And they said, well, we have to tell you something. They said, before we intubate you, this will probably be the last time you'll ever be able to speak to your family. So whatever you want to say, you need to say it now. Can you imagine that? I mean, doctor just told you basically, I'm going to put a tube down your throat. You're not going to say another word to anybody else, and you're going to die with that tube in your throat. So Dr. Rogers took a moment. His family was there. And, of course, he told them how much he loved them and cared for them. And just before they put that tube down in his throat, I want you to listen to what he said. Dr. Rogers looked at his doctor with that tube about to go down his throat. And he looked into his eyes and he said, I am at perfect peace. I am at perfect peace. That's the kind of peace Jesus gives. Permanent, personal, perfect peace. So the question comes, well, what's in a name? Well, it depends on whose name it is. I'll tell you this. If it's Jesus, everything's in that name. If His name is Jesus, everything you need is in the one who carries those names. For example, anybody here today facing a real hard decision and you don't know which way to go, that's okay. Jesus is the wonderful counselor. You're facing a real tough demand in your life, and you don't know whether you're up to meeting that demand or not. That's all right. He is the mighty God. You're facing a great difficulty in your life, and you don't know whether it's going to overwhelm you or not. That's all right. He is the eternal Father. You're in great distress. You're walking the floor. You don't know how this is going to work out. He is the Prince of Peace. Because let me tell you something. When God gave that little baby 2,000 years ago, and that little boy was laid in that manger, you know why He sent him? He didn't do it just because He knew what we needed. He knew who we needed. We needed a wonderful counselor. We needed a mighty God. We needed an everlasting Father. We needed the Prince of Peace. We needed a wonderful counselor who looks ahead of us and can show us what to do. We need a mighty God who looks out for us and who can provide for our every need. We need an everlasting Father who looks after us and protects us wherever we go. We need the Prince of Peace who looks over us and guides us through all of our trouble. And this Jesus can be your Jesus. He can be your wonderful counselor. He can be your mighty God. He can be your everlasting Father. He can be your Prince of Peace. He can be that on a first name basis.
Stay tuned for a final word from Dr. Marin.
I simply could never say thanks enough to those who support this ministry, but know this, I'm forever grateful for all you have done in partnering with me for so many years. As we close out 2018, I'd like to invite you to make a financial gift to this ministry, which always remember is really His ministry, so we can continue broadcasting on television and ministering to people around the world. Donating is so easy. You can go to our website at touchinglives.org, that's touchinglives.org, and give safely and securely there, or you can give us a free call at 1-800-413-1131. There's no better time than right now to support Touching Lives, and together we can advance the gospel around the world in 2019. And always remember this, this ministry will always preach nothing else, nothing but, and nothing less, the Word of God. One of my favorite words is a word that is often heard around Christmas, but is not heard often enough around the world. And that word is peace. Just let that settle in your mind. Peace. All of us would agree, we could use more peace in the world today. And I believe the way to get more peace is for more of the world to accept Jesus, the Prince of Peace, because that's what the Bible calls him. I believe that Jesus came to give peace to you and to me. Knowing Jesus on a first-name basis is the key to getting true, meaningful peace in your life. I'm not talking about temporary peace that may come and go with a drug or a bottle or something like that. I'm talking about lasting peace, the kind of peace that passes all understanding, the kind of peace that will be present even in the roughest storm and the most difficult of circumstances. I hope you know Jesus on a first-name basis, and I hope the peace of Jesus is filling your heart and your home right now as we prepare to celebrate Christmas. But if it's not, you can always call us here at Touching Lives, free call 1-800-413-1131, because there is peace waiting for you on the other end of that line. We would love to connect with you and hear from you. We're at the end of our series, First Name Basis, but I'll be right back here next week, ready to preach more of God's Word, and I look forward to seeing you then.
Touching Lives, teaching people everywhere who Jesus is and why they need Him. This program is sponsored by Touching Lives Ministries and is made possible by the grace of God and your faithful prayers and gifts.